Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
Welcome back to the show. And thanks, as always, for joining us. Hope you guys are doing good. Got a great show planned for you today. And I'm doing great, but I am still recovering. This is KTTH, so I'm assuming most of you probably listen during the week and hopefully listen to the Todd Herman Show, but I've got to be friends with Todd, and he's helped us out with a few of our charitable ventures. As many of you know, we support the New Horizons Foundation in Seattle, and Todd's been kind enough to join us in helping them out. And as a side note, I would encourage all of you to go check out New Horizons in Seattle. Just type in New Horizons Seattle. It comes up. And I don't want to spend too much time on it, but just go take a look at it. It's a cause that is dear to my heart because it is central to, I think, what the majority of people that listen to this radio show do. And don't get me wrong, it's a show about finance and markets and investing. But, you know, after doing this show for a while, I meet so many listeners, and I'm always shocked by how many people go, yeah, I listen to the show. Listen to the show every week, and it's humbling, and it's cool, and it's just a great way to communicate. But anyway, check it out. Check out New Horizons. It's should be near and dear to the heart of all conservatives, because although we get painted as callous and greedy and, you know, darn the poor, and we all know that that's not true. As a matter of fact, on average, conservatives tend to be the most generous with their own money. We just want control over our money because we allocate capital far more efficiently than governments do. Breaking news. Individuals allocate capital more effectively than governments. Now, I know that won't come to a surprise to most of you. And it's amazing to me the surprise it comes to how many people are surprised or refuse to believe that. But anyway, I said I was recovering because I'm still sore. I took Todd up on an offer to go work out with him this last weekend. And that man is a horse. Todd's got me by, what is he, 13 years older than I am? And you know, I played college football. Todd actually did too. And I still work out for, well, I'd say on average 3 to 4 times a week. And I hung in there, but man, that man is strong. And he whooped me. So anyway, you get the chance to work out with Todd Herman, take him up on it, but bring plenty of water. And make sure you don't have anything too physically strenuous the next couple of days, because that guy's no joke. Anyway, market update. But before we get into that, look, I recognize the fact that this is an investing show, right? And a finance show. But at the same time, it is our show, so I can talk about whatever I want. And I hope it doesn't turn anybody off. But I had to address something because I was on Twitter last night. I'm not a huge Twitter guy, but I do it mostly for business, like I've said on the show before. And I actually gave some bad information. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at KYR Radio, at KYR Radio. And it's mostly a research tool for me and a way to communicate with other guys in the industry and share ideas and things of that nature. But I can't help myself. Sometimes I get sucked into these political issues and got sucked into one last night. As many of you know, Dory Monson is a client of ours and a friend of mine. And he was talking about the whole Roseanne issue, right? The tweet. And I don't want to get into that because I think that's a really complex issue, and I think it's a lot more complex than most people put out. But I don't know Roseanne. I know that the tweet on the face of it sounded appalling to me, and as an employer, I would be petrified if somebody made a comment like that. But here's what I do know. And this is going to be a controversial thing to say, so bear with me. Again, it's 770. I hope it's not turning anybody off, but it's a political talk show. Or station, anyway. Here's what I do know. People say stupid things, right? People say racist things. People say misogynistic things. People say things to each other in the privacy of their own homes, myself included, that would never want to see the light of day. Right? We're humans. We're fallible. And I don't want to inject. I'm just going to offend everybody. I'm interjecting religion and politics now into a show about finance, but by grace we are saved. At least that's what I believe and what I know to be true. And I know that I have an endless need for grace, and thank God it's there. But I, knowing Dory personally, and I'll bring it back to the Twitter story now, he did a show yesterday. He was talking about the Roseanne thing, and there was a gentleman on Twitter that was quoting him. Obviously, he was picking out parts of the quote, right? Selective editing. And he basically just called Dory a racist, saying that he supported the Roseanne tweet and just branded him a racist. And I had to jump into the fray. And so I responded back and said, look, I know Dory and doesn't have a racist bone in his body. And, you know, why don't you post the whole tweet? And there was a little bit of a back and forth going on, and I gave up after a while because it's absolutely pointless. And then toward the end of the exchange, the guy inferred that I was a racist, or at least that I was siding with racists. And that's when I sat the phone down, because some of you may know this, some of you may not, but my wife happens to be black, and my children are of mixed race. And when we're throwing around the racist card left and right, the thing that irritates me about it is it ends the discussion, right? You're now branded a racist, and everything you think is seen through a racist lens, and it makes my blood boil. Because then, if you're a racist, we don't have to listen to anything you say. Your economics are wrong, your politics are wrong, everything's wrong because you're a racist. And it's lazy. And I believe it's immoral. And I believe it also takes the shining light off the true racists in society. And it irritates the heck out of me, and it irritates my wife even more. Because she's dealt with racism. We have. Not nearly as much as other people say, and I'm not saying my experience is the same as everybody else's, but here's what I know. There's a lot less real racists out there than people say. A lot less. And most of the vast majority of people listening to this show right now and that are conservatives and listen to this talk show, I meet you every single day. Matter of fact, I haven't met a racist, or at least one that admitted it to me. And if a guy's married to a black woman and she's clearly put up on our website and they're a racist, I don't think they're probably going to pick him to run their money or manage their money. And it just, it irritates the heck out of me. And like I said, I think the thing that irritates me the most, and this is a long diatribe, I admit that. We'll get into the finance side of it. But like I said, the thing that irritates me the most is it ends the discussion. People then close their ears. They brand you a racist. Even if they don't know you're married to a black woman. Just a racist. Just throw it out there. And it's an ad hominem attack. The other side of it with the Roseanne thing, like I said, I don't want to get into it. But, you know, I'll share a little story with you. When my wife and I were dating, the first Christmas we shared together, she came over to my house for a, and I probably have family listening to this show right now, just deep breathing, going, oh, I can't believe he's talking about this on the radio. Came over to share Christmas Eve with my family. It was an idyllic scene, like a Norman Rockwell painting. Everybody's gathered around the Christmas tree, fire in the background, sweaters and everything. And my grandma was telling a story about the first Christmas that she was married to my grandfather. And in the process of telling the story, she slipped and used the N-word. And as you can imagine, I'm a white guy, white family. My new girlfriend happens to be black. You could hear a pin drop. And what was fascinating about this is I grew up in a completely non-racial family. I had no concept of race, really. My two best friends growing up were both black guys. And still talk to one of them to this day and still check in with one of the other ones. But, and now that's not, I know, you know, the old liberal attack. Oh, I knew a black person once. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is I grew up in a family where we never heard that. It was, looking back on, I think my parents did a really cool job. I was really colorblind. I had no concept of racism. And but my grandma slipped and dropped the N-word. And she quickly realized it and got up and excused herself from the room and went outside and was crying, horrified. And my wife, then girlfriend, was the first person to join her outside and went out and gave her a hug and said, hey, everybody makes a mistake. I know you're not a racist. And the irony was that moment that was petrifying, it was horrifically embarrassing to everybody else, turned into a bonding moment. My wife had a very good relationship with both my grandparents until they both passed. But people say stupid stuff, and it doesn't mean you're a racist. Half these people sitting there going off on, you know, Trump and Roseanne and whoever, they've said racist stuff. Senator Robert Byrd, for God's sakes, was the grand dragon of the Ku Klux Klan. Anyway, back to the world of finance. But I don't know why. I just felt compelled to address that. Like I said, I think the thing that frustrates me the most is this fake branding of, and there are racists out there. I've encountered it. But this fake branding of racism and this throwing it around, you know, like a, you know, like we're playing tag and you're a racist. And it in of itself is divisive. It further separates us. It doesn't bring us together. And that's enough on that subject. I'll move on now. I promise. But my blood was boiling last night because I know Dory. Dory doesn't have a racist bone in his body. And it just, man, it fired me up. And this guy doesn't know Dory. Dory doesn't know who he is. How do you? Anyway, on to the market update. We're going to go, Darren's looking at me here, telling me we're going to run a little over on this first one. I had this racial sensitivity monologue that I just felt compelled to deliver. Hopefully it wasn't too painful for you guys to listen to. But, you know, at some point, we got to push back and sit there and go, whoa, just because I believe in the power of free markets and empowering individuals rather than the culture of victimization does not make me a racist. And if you think it does, I would encourage you to go read the writings of Malcolm X. Go read what Malcolm X and his advice was to minorities at the time. I'll tell you what, it sounds like a lot like a conservative. A Second Amendment believing conservative. So anyway, I've said enough. On to the market update. Look, this is, if you guys have a sense of confusion, If you got some market vertigo setting in, you're not weak stomached. This really is a historic choppiness in the S&P 500 and the markets overall that we've seen over the last couple months. The back and forth action, the 1% moves, volatility being back with a vengeance. It's remarkable. The average correction, which is where the market goes down 10% or more, and it can come up, so you know it can make a rally and only be down 5%. But the minute we hit 10%, technically we're in a correction until we make new highs. And the typical correction lasts 8 to 12 weeks. And we are, let's see, I think we're approaching 18 to 19 weeks now. Very odd. And it continues. I have no predictions about where it's going to end. We don't predict where markets go, but once again, as we talk about on the show endlessly, it's a phenomenal opportunity. And I'm again meeting with probably 7 to 10 new people every single week, and not enough have made the change. Take advantage of this period of time. Don't sit there and I hear this all the time. It shocks me. Zach, I think we should just hold on a little bit until we get back to new highs. Guys, we're within 7% of the all-time highs. Maybe 5.5-6% on the S&P. Don't be a penny smart and a dollar foolish, right? And does that mean the market can run up? No. If you put a gun to my head, I think that we will most likely go on to make new highs this year. Having said that, I think that we're well within the last gasp of this bull run. Doesn't mean that the apocalyptic scenario is going to play out. Doesn't mean the world's going to come apart. But I guarantee you the vast majority of the easy money has been made. Okay, and so what does that mean? Now it's time to button down the hatches a little bit and revisit how much exposure we have to risk. Gold is acting very strange. Oil's had a big pullback here, which is odd because inflation keeps going up. Those rates that were skyrocketing got hammered down in the last week and a half or so. And we're going to talk a little bit more about rates. We spent the entire episode, was it 2 weeks ago, talking about just bonds and interest rates. We're going to revisit that conversation a little bit because I've had a lot of questions about it, and I want to explain why we pay so much attention to that, just so you guys know. But anyway, we got to take a quick run. I've gone way over time here. As always, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. We can do an on-the-phone consultation, 15 minutes usually takes. If you want to go longer, we can, but we schedule 15 minutes. You can also call in, request the free booklet, Common Sense Investing. It's all about our bond alternative. You can go download the go to the website, knowyourriskradio.com. It'll take you to Bulwark Capital's webpage. You can get the white paper by Roger Ibbotson talking about our bond alternative and how superior it is going to be to bonds over the next 10 to 15 years. And we're seeing it play out. We're going to get to that in the client question of the week segment. We're going to revisit gold. Haven't talked gold in a long time. We're going to also talk about emotions in investing. But coming up right next, I'm going to tease this a little bit. We're going to talk about, is it a good economy or is it a bad economy? We're going to have basically two client question segments. And this will be the first one, but I want to address that. Good economy or bad economy? So anyway, stick with us. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Are you worried that a market collapse like 2000 and 2008 could constrain or delay your retirement? Or maybe you're sitting on a pile of cash earning nothing? If so, call us and request our complimentary booklet, Common Sense Investing. Hi, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. We'll show you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. So why risk it? And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
I am indeed a client, and I recommend Zach to you. Get Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing. Call now. Get your free copy, 866-779-RISK, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
This is Michael Medved. Financial experts will tell you that you should have a plan in place for the high cost of long-term care. If your plan consists of using your savings to pay for any long-term care needs in the future, then take a moment to contact 525 Advisors. 525 Advisors are the local long-term care experts. They will show you how to set up an asset-based plan using a portion of your existing savings. Now, this way you maintain control of your money and your guaranteed to get your money back even if you don't need long-term care. For every dollar you put in today, 525 Advisors will show you how to get $3 to $4 back in tax-free long-term care protection. Call 525 Advisors today to learn how you can put a portion of your savings to work and protect your family and the rest of your assets from the high costs of long-term care. Call today at 425-748-8188. That's 425-748-8188 and 525-LongTermCare.com. That's 525-LongTermCare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back to the show. And if you heard it there in the break, Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, Saturdays at 7 a.m. on 97.3 Cairo FM. You can download the podcast and sign up for one of Brian's classes at 525longtermcare.com. Zach, why are you talking about this? Don't you work for Bulwark? Does Brian work with you? No. Brian is where we send our clients for long-term care. And the reason we do that, I am licensed to sell long-term care, but we believe in jack of all trades, master of none. We focus solely on finance, and the reason we work with Brian is he focuses solely on long-term care. He knows it better than anyone. And I've met with people that say, oh, I want to get a second opinion, even we're talking about long-term care, and I go, okay, but I've gotten second opinions and third and fourth and fifth, and I can make money selling it to my clients myself, and that's where I send people. If you want to know about long-term care and the best deal possible, deal with Brian. So anyway, and now on to the rest of this segment. Oh, but one more thing. I'd be remiss. I have a special guest with me in the studio today. It's my five-year-old son, Kai. The kids take turns joining me to record the show every once in a while. And so it's Kai's turn today. And he just got to sit there and watch Michael Medved in studio record a spot for a show. So I told him, this is how the real pros do it, son. So anyway, on to the next topic. Wanted to talk about good economy versus bad economy, because I've had a lot of questions about that. And I've had a lot of questions about that because I meet with people and sometimes there's some confusion, right? They sit there and go, wait a second, Zach, you're on 770 KTTH. Here you talk. Obviously, you're on the conservative side of things. I wouldn't consider myself a Republican, but I'm very much on the conservative side of things. You're talking about dangers in the economy. I thought Trump was making things better. Are you supportive of Trump? Are you supportive of the economy? You know, what's the deal? There's this incongruency here. And I'll tell you exactly what it is. Growing up in this industry, as many of you know, I literally grew up, had a crib in a brokerage firm, never done anything else other than the unbelievable array of odd jobs I did to pay my way through college, including working on a fishing boat and selling boats and waiting tables and construction and working in warehouses and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But what I've learned in the world of finance is that our job is really politically agnostic, meaning that our job is to deploy capital in the best places possible that have the best risk-reward scenarios for our clients. There's that word again, risk, right? Know Your Risk Radio. And we need to do that regardless of the political regime that's currently in place. And to do that, you have to divorce yourself somewhat of political outlooks. You've got to make sure that that's not shading your view. So, in short, am I supportive of what Trump is doing? Yes. With some caveats. I mean, I think the tax cut could have been done differently. I think that overall it was a positive. I'd rather have it than not. I love the peel back of regulations. I hope it continues. I love the peel back of the personal mandate and healthcare tax and all that kind of stuff. But I think, as we all know, Trump inherited a mess. And the only reason that the stock markets didn't reflect that mess is because central banks, namely the Fed, recently the European Central Bank, has taken the torch and sprinted with it. As a matter of fact, I think their balance sheet has even expanded further than the Fed's currently is. But essentially, these banks pumped somewhere between $18 to $20 trillion worth of currency into the system over the last 10 years. And it elevated asset prices. And if you don't believe me, and we've talked about this on the show before, if you don't believe me, when we look at inflation-adjusted growth over the last 10 years, it is the slowest period of growth in our country's history, including the Great Depression. And yet we had record market prices. We had record real estate prices. We had record bond prices when Trump took office. We also happen to have a record level of debt that's only grown bigger since then. So am I bagging on Trump's economy? No. Not at all. And I think that his policies and the renewed sense of optimism that he's brought so many of us, that we're watching the things that were done over the last 10 years and pulling our hair out and going, what in the world's going on, or last 8 years prior to him coming into office. I think he's rejuvenated so many of these business owners, and rightfully so. But remember, as I've said many times on the show before, money's agnostic. It doesn't care about politics. And so we've got to take those color, we've got to take those shades off. We can't look through it through a political prism. We need to be clear-eyed. And ironically, for me, this is where the faith side of things comes in, because one of my favorite Bible verses of all time is by Solomon, "There's nothing new under the sun." We have not figured out how to print our way to prosperity. Contrary to the modern Keynesian economists out there, debt is a problem. And we don't have time to get into that, but Keynesian economists literally do not consider debt in their economic forecasts. There's a reason for it. It's completely misguided, and it's been proven wrong, but, you know, dogma dies hard, right? But we have to be agnostic about it. And saying that we have massive concerns about the amount of debt and leverage out there is nothing. Like I pointed out, maybe it was a couple weeks ago, it was the newsletter. We talked about this extensively in the newsletter, and I said, look, the Federal Reserve went from buying U.S. government bonds, injecting capital into the markets via their process of quantitative easing. They ended that in the end of October of 2017. Within 4 months, we had the volatility explosion and 10% drop. Now, if you think that's a coincidence, I have a bridge to sell you. Now, remember, we were talking about the unprecedented amount of volatility, this long sideways chop here in the markets over the last 4 months or so, 16, 17, 18 weeks, something like that now. Well, that is when the Fed has started rolling those assets, that $4.5 trillion worth of mortgage-backed securities and U.S. government bonds. That's when they've started rolling those assets off their balance sheets. So now it's quantitative easing in reverse. And again, if you don't think that this is affecting things, people have this misconception that stocks are valued primarily and simply on their individual performance. But you've got to remember that a market, you know, things can move independently, but a market is interconnected. And when money is flowing into a market, asset prices in general will rise. When money starts flowing out of a market, asset prices in general will fall. Now, what I think is interesting today is that you have a higher percentage of assets in passive index vehicles than ever before in history by a, you know, exponential number. And so people don't own individual investments or individual stocks or companies nearly as much. And I'm not railing against indexed, you know, passive investments. We have them in our portfolios. We utilize them. This isn't a rant against them. I'm just saying, I think the average investor is probably more exposed than ever because of this passive indexing model to money exiting the market. Right? If we own individual securities, we might take a hit, but we can position ourselves to less volatile things, things like that. And the downside is when market's going up, we may miss out on the rise of the overall market, right? Because we're in these safer segments. The upside is the market goes down, we might miss out on some of that volatility. But for those of you, I was looking at a post that somebody was writing about the safety of passive indexing and all that kind of stuff. If you think that owning passive vehicles or just, you know, ETFs and things like that are going to eliminate risk from you, you don't understand what you own. Okay, the average S&P 500 ETF in March of 2009 was down 63% from the top. Okay, that's the whole point. If the market goes down 40%, the ETF goes down 40%. It's not any safer than a mutual fund. It's, you know, by and large, they're better to own over time because they've got lower expenses, and most mutual funds underperform the market anyway. And for those of you just joining us, this is Know Your Risk Radio. But getting back to the good economy, bad economy, there's another startling stat that I saw was the unemployment rate. Big number just came out on Friday. Unemployment down to 3.8%. Now, the flip side of that, you've got to understand, is that we have 95 million, which the number went up now, 95 million people of working age outside of the economy. Okay, so it's not all roses. But the last time, or whenever we have had unemployment at these levels, going back 100 years or lower, the average interest rate, the average Fed funds interest rate, which is the interbank rate that the Federal Reserve lends to member banks, the base rate, think of it as like the base rate. The average Fed funds rate when unemployment was this low in the past was over 6%. Today it's 1.5. I mean, that is a massive difference. And this is really what concerns me. When we've got a pile of debt stacked up this high, I think the vast majority of what Trump's doing is great. I wish that he'd use different language sometimes. I wish he had a better bedside manner. But I think the vast majority of the policies have been pretty strong and quite honestly have surprised me. There's issues I've got, right? I don't sit there and blindly follow anybody. I'm certainly not a Trump follower per se. But I think the vast majority of the stuff he's done is good. It does not change the chaos and the lunacy that had occurred over the previous decade. And that when you have an economy this levered, right? The banks aren't as bad here in the United States, guys, but every other sector of the economy is far more indebted, significantly so, than it was in 2007, with much lower interest rates. And now the Fed is talking about ratcheting up rates. That's going to be a problem. And we've seen it. We've gotten a little preview of it here. And remember, they're still 1/5 of the average over the last 100 years in terms of when unemployment was this low. Like I said, the average is over 6% on the Fed funds rate when employment is 3.8% or lower. Today, 3.8% unemployment, Fed funds rate's 1.5. We've never been here before. Not to mention the amount of unproductive debt because of taking out debt to buy for stock buybacks and all this kind of. What I'm saying is that nobody, and it's not going to be Trump's fault. We know the mainstream media is going to try to pin it on him. But it doesn't matter what he does. This pile of debt has to get dealt with. And will it get dealt with? Yeah, it'll get dealt with. That's just not usually a fun process, right? Usually requires restructuring. Another word for restructuring for an economy is recession. Another word for restructuring is bankruptcy. We're going to see bankruptcies. We're going to see restructuring. We're going to see mergers that are just meant to save companies because their cash flow can no longer support the balance sheet as interest rates move higher. And remember, think about this. If a corporation has a pile of debt, let alone a record pile of debt, and let's say they're averaging, they're averaging a 3.5% interest rate that they're paying out on that debt on an annual basis. Everybody goes, well, a 1% rate increase doesn't hurt anything. Historically, you'd be correct. Not a big deal. But when you're going from 3% to 4%, that's a 33% increase on your debt servicing cost. If you don't think that's going to be a hit to earnings, a hit to cash flow statements, I would love for you to call into the show and explain to me how. So anyway, am I anti-economy? No. I'm a red-blooded American, you know, all-American guy. And I hope things are great. I'm not going to leverage our clients. I'm not going to leverage their future on the hopes that things are going to be great. We got to play the field like we see it. We got to have clear eyes. Ideology has no place in managing money. And if you want to know how we're protecting our clients, if you want to know how we're increasing upside, lowering cost, drastically reducing risk, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. We can do the portfolio reviews over the phone. We can meet in person. You can call and get our Common Sense Investing booklet. Go to the website. Listen to the podcast at knowyourriskradio.com. Sign up for the free newsletter, completely free, no hitches. We're not going to sell your information. We're not going to use your information to contact you. Just a source of information. Just want to get it out there. Help as many people as we possibly can. Anyway, stick with us. We got more great segments coming up. Next, we're going to revisit gold. I haven't talked about it in a long time, and I've gotten a lot of interesting comments, a lot of differing opinions. It'll be the golden segment of the show, pun intended. Stick with us. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Are you worried that a market collapse like 2000 and 2008 could constrain or delay your retirement? Or maybe you're sitting on a pile of cash earning nothing? If so, call us and request our complimentary booklet, Common Sense Investing. Hi, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. We'll show you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. So why risk it? And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
I am indeed a client, and I recommend Zach to you. Get Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing. Call now. Get your free copy, 866-779-RISK, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we're back. Thank you for sticking with us. And want to hop right into this one. This is a shockingly controversial subject. And hopefully we can shed some light on it. I always walk lightly when having this discussion because it always shocks me how intense the feelings are about it. And I understand some of that. But gold and the role that gold plays in a portfolio. Now, I think a lot of us know, and I am very conscious of and don't completely debunk, I'm bringing it up again. The Oracle of Omaha, Warren Buffett, has long said that gold was a, quoting an economist, and I believe it was John Maynard Keynes that called gold a barbarous relic. I could be wrong on that. But many are familiar with Warren Buffett's thought on gold specifically, which is he doesn't like it. And he said before, and it was, by the way, I was Googling that as we spoke. It was John Maynard Keynes. But Warren Buffett has spoke before about gold, and he described it in this way. If somebody came down from another planet and saw these people huddled around a hole in the ground, pulling this yellow metal out, and then shuffling it over somewhere else and putting it in a safe and guarding it and all that kind of stuff, they'd go, you know, what in the heck's going on? And it's ridiculous, and it doesn't produce a cash flow stream and all that other kind of stuff. And on the investment side of it, I agree with him. He's completely right. But gold isn't an investment. Gold is a currency. It's money. It's real money. It's a store of value. And if you don't think it is, you would have had awesome growth of wealth if you'd owned, you know, $1,000 worth of gold in the 1600s or the equivalent of $1,000. You know, if you'd invested in gold over the last, you know, 400 years or whatever, it's done that. It's been a store of value. Are there things that have done better? Yes, there's been things that have done much better. But we shouldn't be comparing it to other. It's ridiculous, right? It really goes hand in hand with when we talk about the dirtiest word in investing, the fixed indexed annuity, and the people that rail against them, compare them to stocks. And we go, whoa, 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 hold on a second. We're talking about something that doesn't have any risk, no counterparty risk, because the state government reinsures the product. So we're not worried about the company that's issuing us the annuity. The dirtiest word in investing, the right annuity. And if you're just listening to the show, we use something called a fixed indexed annuity as a bond replacement. And I'm talking about it alongside gold because both things cause typically vehement or you know, strong reactions from most people. And if we're comparing them to stocks, that's a horrible comparison, right? An annuity can't lose money. Now, there are many different kinds. We use a very specific kind that is guaranteed against loss, cannot lose, has no annual management fees, no upfront management fees, no guaranteed income riders, no enhanced death benefit guarantees or anything like that. It's stripped down to just the chassis. But it gets us anywhere from 50 to 70% upside of the stock market. And it's guaranteed not to go down in the down years. It's not snake oil. Dory talks about it. We talk about it on the show all the time. I don't want to get off course here, though. Because the whole point bringing it up was, what are we comparing it to? To compare something that cannot lose value to stocks is stupid. It's a horrible comparison. What do we compare it to? Well, with the annuity, we compare it to bonds, cash, savings accounts, money market accounts, CDs. And bottom line is, over the last 30 years, the fixed index annuity is averaged between 6% to 7%. And those other things I just said right there, net of fees, are maybe averaging between 1% and 2% if you're lucky. Over the last 16 months, especially the bonds have been negative because interest rates are going up. So if we own something that's guaranteed against loss and it's making us 6%, why would we want something that's not guaranteed against loss, that's actually lost between 4% to 6% over the last 16 months, and it's paying us 2%, right? And on top of that, we're paying somebody 1% a year to manage it. So how does this relate to gold? Because gold suffers from the same thing. People sit there and go, oh, yeah, gold has underperformed stocks. And over the last 100 years, that's true. But I want to throw a really interesting stat out to you. For those people that do not believe gold is part of a portfolio, now listen, I want to make this really clear. Maybe not everybody should have gold in their portfolio. We have some clients that don't for various reasons. Right? It's part of an independent investment evaluation that we do with everybody because we build truly custom portfolios. So it may not be right for everybody. But if you're one of those people out there, oh, gold's horrible, blah, 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 I don't like gold, Warren Buffett hates it, all that kind of stuff, I want you to listen to this. If you would have invested in a Dow Jones Industrial ETF, okay, the Dow Jones Industrial, the Dow Jones ETF in 1998, when ETFs were first gaining momentum, had you invested in one of those ETFs, in 1998, you'd be up net of fees right now, right at 350%. That's pretty impressive. 20-year rate of return. 20-year return. Okay? If you would have invested in gold, just gold, not gold mining stocks, because remember, gold mining stocks, when gold's moving up, gold mining stocks have a typically, on average, historically, a 4-to-1 relationship to gold. And but it works both ways. So we got to be careful. But had you invested in just gold in 1998, you'd currently be up 357%. So all those guys out there saying, oh, gold's horrible, gold's horrible. Did they know that over the last 20 years, I'm not talking five, that gold has outperformed the Dow Jones Industrial Average? Now, we can get a lot more outperformance if we cherry pick the numbers, but I'm just saying from today, 20 years back. So what's the value of gold? To us, gold is... they've got their portfolio, they've got this, they've got that, and then they've got some cash. Maybe the cash is just in their savings account. That's not a problem. But those same people, you tell them, what about gold? They'll go, oh, I don't like gold. Right? Now, here's the interesting thing. Gold has made money. It's averaged, I want to say, around 6.5% per year over the last 100 years. So not as much as stocks, right? But different asset class. We're not comparing it to that. Do you know what cash has done? Have you heard of something called inflation? Cash is a guaranteed loser. Does that mean we don't want any cash replaced with gold? No, but if you believe in having cash as a part of the portfolio or something with permanent value that you can convert into assets at any given time, because remember, having cash is not a bad thing. And the reason why is because during the periods of the most financial turmoil, think 2008, 2009, cash was what everybody needed. And therefore, we think about markets going down. Another way you can think about it is the value of cash soaring in relationship to assets. And why? Because there was a liquidity crisis. What is liquidity? It's cash. And when you've got cash and everybody needs it, that's how you buy things at bargain basement prices. And it may hurt for a while. It may not be fun to have 5 to 7% sitting in cash while the market's going up, you know, like it has over the last 9 years. But it's prudent. Very rarely, you look at Buffett's of the world, you look at Peter Lynch's of the world, you look at all, some of the best investors, very rarely do they have all their money in assets. They almost always have cash on the sidelines. And if we're long-term investors, gold is a phenomenal diversifier, because if we're going to use the logic of we buy stocks, we buy ETFs, we buy the S&P 500, and we ignore the short-term noise because we know over time we will get a rate of return somewhere between 11 and 12%. If you believe that, congratulations, because over long enough timelines, that is correct. History has bore that out. Now, the markets haven't averaged that over the last 20 years. The average has been more around 7.5%. But if we're looking at it in reality over the last 100 years, that's exactly right. But if we believe that, we should apply that same knowledge to gold, and the comparison should be to cash. I can tell you with 100% certainty, your cash will not increase in value over the next 10 years. I find it highly unlikely to think that your gold in dollar terms, meaning how it's valued in dollars, will not increase in value over 10 years. And yet, when we talk about gold making up part of a cash position, and maybe it's gold companies, all depends on the client, but when we talk about gold being in the portfolio, people have a completely different response on average than they do if you were to hold cash. And yet gold has outperformed over the last 2,000 years. It's outperformed every fiat currency that's ever existed. Why? Because every fiat currency, except the ones that are currently in existence, has gone out. It's gone under. It's broke the buck, right? It's gone away. And there's some, that's some really bad-headed logic. So should we have 50% of our money in gold? No, not saying that. But as a part of your cash position, maybe make it up 30, 40, possibly even 50% of your cash position. Maybe it makes up 5, 7, 10% of your overall portfolio position. Look, that depends on opinion. But should you own some of it? Yes. And we can't just listen to what Buffett says, because he's looking at things in a completely different manner. We could spend an entire episode talking about that. But go read what Ray Dalio has to say about it. Go read what, you know, some of these other great investors, Julian Robertson, has to say about it. Stan Druckenmiller. I mean, there's tons of them. Buffett also says he hates cash. Now, hating cash has, there's a lot more logic to it than hating gold. But remember, this is risk management. It's about diversification. And I don't think those things are any more important. I don't think they've ever been more important than they are now. Because maybe you think that Trump is the second coming and America's going to infinity beyond. That's great. I hope you're right, because everything we own will go up in value and no one's got anything to worry about. The fixed index annuities will do awesome. The bonds will do bad. The bonds will do bad no matter what. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in the coming segments. But everything we own will do awesome. Houses will go up, value, markets will keep going higher. Everything will work. It'll be great. But it's never happened in history. And you've got all these bizarre setups. Like I was telling you, the Fed funds rate, when unemployment's been this low in the past, to average 6.5%. Today it's at 1.5, 1.65, something like that. Right? You got record low unemployment, but you've got a record number, 95 million people out of the workforce. You got growth seems to be accelerating, although first quarter growth got ratcheted down from 2.6 to 2.2%. And yet you got a record wealth gap in the country between the rich and the poor. Record debt loads, record student loans, real estate at all-time highs, bonds at all-time highs, interest rates at record lows. This is a time for diversification. I say it all the time. Probably tired of me saying it. But this goes back to what I was talking about. There's nothing new under the sun. Debt matters, guys. And interest rates are the cost of debt. And rates are going up. And when everything is great, record margin levels, record stock price levels, record real estate, record bond. When everything is great, if we are prudent investors, if we believe in gathering for the winter, we know it's coming. I hope it doesn't. I hope we're wrong. I had this feeling in 2007. You know, we saw the storm clouds on the horizon. I remember just feeling so conflicted about it. We had just bought a house, late 2005, early 2006. I didn't want to believe it. I wanted to stick my head under the sand and believe that in 4 years from now, my house was going to be 30, 40% higher than it was. But we had to stare down the reality of what it was, because managing money and investing should be politically agnostic. We shouldn't look at it through those lenses. We've got to give it that hard, realistic look, right? That unjaded look. Because after all, at the end of the day, we can't afford to be wrong. We have to be right no matter what happens. And if you want to know more about gold, do you like those transitions? If you want to know more about gold and the role it should play, or the role we believe it should play in a portfolio, or our dirtiest word in investing, how we rise with the market, but we're guaranteed against loss, don't pay a management fee as a bond replacement, or our algorithmically managed ETF portfolio we've been using that's got built-in protection. Everything we do is going to be about risk management. And yet, last year, our 50-50 portfolio, 50% stocks, 50% bond replacement. Cost our average client between 55 basis points, right around 55 basis points, so 0.5%, and was up over 18%. To give you a reference point, a 50-50 stock bond portfolio last year was up between, you know, net of fees, up somewhere between 7.5% to 9% a year last year. So we're getting safer, we're lowering cost, we're improving upside. It's called risk management. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. It's no tricks, no arm twisting. You want to call and have a 15-minute conversation with me. We'll tell you exactly how we're doing it. We'll look at your portfolio and we'll just do cost, performance, and risk analysis. That's all there is. That's all there is to it. So stick with us. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Are you worried that a market collapse like 2000 and 2008 could constrain or delay your retirement? Or maybe you're sitting on a pile of cash earning nothing? If so, call us and request our complimentary booklet, Common Sense Investing. Hi, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. We'll show you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. So why risk it? And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
I am indeed a client, and I recommend Zach to you. Get Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing. Call now. Get your free copy, 866-779-RISK, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
This is Michael Medved. Financial experts will tell you that you should have a plan in place for the high cost of long-term care. If your plan consists of using your savings to pay for any long-term care needs in the future, then take a moment to contact 525 Advisors. 525 Advisors are the local long-term care experts. They will show you how to set up an asset-based plan using a portion of your existing savings. Now, this way you maintain control of your money and you're guaranteed to get your money back even if you don't need long-term care. For every dollar you put in today, 525 Advisors will show you how to get $3 to $4 back in tax-free long-term care protection. Call 525 Advisors today to learn how you can put a portion of your savings to work and protect your family and the rest of your assets from the high costs of long-term care. Call today at 425-748-8188. That's 425-748-8188 and 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we're back, but not for long. I got caught up in these impassioned discussions to start off the show, and producers looking at me like this is new, and ran over. We got to tie it up. But I just wanted to illustrate, guys, sat down with a client yesterday, 70% stock or bonds, 30% stocks. Market was up 23% last year. They made about 6%. Their bonds have lost about 3.5% to 4% over the last 16 months. Okay. That's 70% bonds, 30% stocks. That fixed index annuity we're talking about, that bond replacement with no downside risk, guaranteed against loss, insured against loss, with no annual fees, no upfront costs. Our most popular product at over 13. You got to look at it as a bond replacement. You're going to be safer and make more money. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Thank you so much for joining us. You can also go to the radio show at knowyourriskradio.com. We will be back, as always, next week with some more updates. And if you like this show, you can, again, go to knowyourriskradio.com. Hit up our podcast. We got some great interviews on there. But until next time, looking forward to another week of markets ahead. We'll be back next week with a full report. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.